Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the Business Marketing Club. The BMC is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we've got over 1,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time you've joined us, you're really very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, though, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. In this episode, we'll be talking lead generation with digital marketing strategist at Vodafone Business, Simon Jones, with the head of marketing at Addleshaw Goddard, Brian McCready, with the head of commercial marketing at Adobe, Vicky Scheel, and with the head of marketing at Blick Rothenberg, Sarah Donnelly. Ready, set, and let's go. Today, we continue our A to Z of business marketing. We're looking to give a primer on the very latest thinking, practices, and practical examples on every big topic in B2B land. And we've reached L, and L stands for lead generation. Four experts will talk on the topic today, starting with digital marketing strategist at Vodafone Business, Simon Jones. Simon, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Hello. Hi, Dave. Nice to see you again. Lead generation. Interestingly, the first thing I'd say about lead generation is it isn't really about leads, but there we go. What it really is, the perspective I come from, is marketing needs to demonstrate value, right? We need to show that we are demonstrating value, and to demonstrate value, we need to tie our activities to revenue or to acceleration of deals or closing more deals. And that's really where lead creation came from. So the analogy I normally use is the analogy of the world's largest team sport. And by the largest team sport, I mean the team sport that has the largest team. And I normally ask this question as an interactive question, but of course it's just you and I, and I think you've heard the analogy before. So I'll just give you the answer. The sport with the largest teams is in fact Formula One. Because if you look at someone like Mercedes or Ferrari, they've got teams of around about 600 or 700 people. You've got people back at the factory who build the cars, who do the aerodynamics. You've got people who go to each of the Grand Prix and make sure they set up. You've got the pit crew, 13, 14 people in the pit crew. And then, yes, you've got the drivers. And all we ever see really and think about really is the drivers. And those are the salespeople in my analogy. And you know that they're salespeople because they have big watches and they have big expensive cars that they drive around in, and that's all they do. Everybody else does the hard work. That was a small joke. But the reality is the racing driver can't do anything without the other 600 people. So the job, or my job as a digital strategist demand creation person, is to show the value, to demonstrate the value that marketing gives. And we do that, or I do that, by looking at all the data, understanding the data, and creating campaigns that take a buyer along their buyer journey. I think we've all heard of the Gartner, IDC have done the same research. About 60% of the buyer journey happens before they talk to somebody, at a salesperson or somebody in the organization. Well, one of my jobs is to engage people before they engage with salespeople, stimulate them, and take them along on that journey. And if I look at the way I operate at Vodafone, and previously I've done it at other organizations, it's about making sure that we build campaigns where we do multiple touches. We take someone from that really early stage of initial engagement through profiling, education, solution selection, and then we hand them over to a salesperson. And that's around about 10, 12 touches we have to do from start to finish before we finally hand them over to sales. What used to happen in the past, that would be a lead that would be generated in something like Salesforce. That would go to a salesperson. The salesperson would pick it up and they're going to do that qualification. What we do now is we try and stimulate those leads over those five or six different interactions, qualifying someone, educating people, adding value to them. And then what actually happens is the salesperson gets something that is highly qualified. And it may be a lead, which is an individual person. It may be a group of people attached to an opportunity. In the case of Vodafone, we actually hand over the salesperson a ready qualified opportunity that they go and work on and take to the and take through to hopefully closed one. So if I'm looking at this from a what's new in the market at the moment, there's two or three trends that we're seeing. Some of them been around for a couple of years and are now starting to become fairly prolific. The first one is the use of something called intent. And all intent really is looking at signals you're getting from individuals or groups of individuals that help you define what you think they're interested in. And there are products. Sixth Sense is a product from the US. Science is a product out of the UK. And what Science does is Science will really pick early stage signals. And by early stage is people interacting with Google, people interacting with paid media. They'll tie that back to an account and they'll look at an aggregation of signals about what that content is about, what they're looking at. And they'll be able to give you a pattern. If you give them a list of 500 accounts, they'll be able to tell you which accounts are looking at what subjects at a particular point of time. So you can then start really targeting in at the early stage of their buyer journey, start interacting with them, start proving trust to them, start adding value to them. Then they become known to you. Once they become known to you, you can use things like email, and then you can pass them through to sales. The second area, I was working in a previous role. I was working with a company called Serious Decisions, working with a number of clients. And one of the clients I worked with was a company, I won't name them, but a company out in Belgium. And they did all of their demand marketing in the anonymous space. It was all about retargeting. It was all social, social paid media and retargeting. And they were able to track via cookies, which are going away soon. They were able to track four or five touches offering different pieces of content, all for free. There were no landing page gated forms for people to take content away. It was all given for free on the first five interactions. On the sixth one, they would offer a really high value piece of content to them, and then they would fill out a form. And when they filled out the form, what they found was by doing these multiple interactions in the anonymous space, they were able to build really strong trust. When somebody finally gave them the detail, they were actually at the point where they were ready to speak to a salesperson. So I think the second big trend in this, and this is going to continue, is the shift away from being in control and using email and all being about outbound to actually being a more inbound approach, working in the anonymous space, using high quality content to take people along their buyer journey and pass them through to the salesperson. And that brings me to the third thing. And content marketing has been around for a while, but I think that the one piece of advice I would give to marketers going on this journey is value of content and trust are the two most important things in any marketing demand creation, whether it's marketing generated or marketing influenced. It's all about gaining trust and delivering value to a buyer. Because if you deliver value to a buyer and you gain their trust, they are more likely to interact with you, and they are more likely to go along their buyer journey with you, and they are more likely to buy from you. So I think in summary, that's my 4 or 5 minutes first guide to lead generation, which is more about demand generation. And I would close on one final point. And I have this, as you know, I've had this discussion with a number of people. If you're not demonstrating value as a B2B marketing organization, you are a cost. And if you are a cost, you are more likely to be cut or defunded. So if you can demonstrate, if you can make that link from the activity you do to the revenue that is created by the organization, you will start to be perceived as having innate value within the organization. And I have a dashboard that I look at a daily basis, and I can see all the way from the initial impressions in all of my campaigns, all the way to the one revenue at the other end. And the conversations I then have with the rest of the organization are very different conversations. They're not about how nice was the event, or how good is the brochure or the website or the web page. They're about how we then go and what action we take to generate more. Where can we contribute with sales to their pipeline, to their annualized goals, and how do we interact with them, and how much money do we need to go away and do that and build pipeline with our sales teams? And it's a nice conversation to have. Not always an easy conversation, but it's a nice conversation.
That's so true. Wise words there. Simon Jones, thank you very much.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Our second lead generation expert is the head of marketing at Addleshaw Goddard, Brian McCready. Brian, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Thanks, Dave. Hi, everyone. So I'm possibly going to go through the world's first and quite probably the world's last ever lead generation poem. I've not tried this before. I'm not a poet. I'm a B2B marketer, just like you all. I'm head of marketing at a big law firm called Addleshaw Goddard, amazing place. I've also worked in telecoms and media and sport. So this is just going to be a few minutes. I'm not a voiceover artist, but let's give it a go. So this is called The Hidden Facts About Lead Generation, a B2B marketing poem by Brian. Lead gen, what hasn't already been said? We hear almost nothing else. It's already ingrained in our heads. MQLs, SQLs, blah, blah, blah. What more can I tell you? Where's the aha? Well, there is one fact that can often get missed, an inconvenient truth, a big reason marketers exist. We'll get to that soon. We'll end with that news. But first, let's remind ourselves, without lead gen, we're screwed. Our beloved lead gen, one of our top KPIs, identifying new opportunity is a wonderful prize. Building tomorrow's income, new blood coming through, a source of future hope, and new sales sparks to review. Never forget current clients. We must protect our core. But if we want growth, we'll likely need to find more. So lead gen is critical, adding new sales fuel to the fire, new chances to sell, finding potential new buyers. But how do we do that? How do we achieve our aims when our bloody competitors are all trying to do the same? It's always tough. It's never easy. And seeing rivals' great outputs can make us feel queasy. And it's not just noisy rivals that make lead gen so hard. Our audiences are so busy. Their inboxes are scarred. They're bombarded with noise, have lots of distractions. They've other priorities, couldn't care less of our actions. So lead gen is hard, but there are things we can try. There are ageless techniques, timeless truths do apply. Task one is the topic. We need to pick a theme. Focusing on client issues is the way to get seen. Be intriguing, insightful, be truly helpful, offer them utility, great content assemble. Focus on their needs and plug their gaps. Find ways to add value, present them new facts. The secret to lead gen is no hidden trick. Helping clients succeed is the way to get clicks. But first, we must get seen. We must first arrest attention, stand out from the crowd, be creative, apply invention. Because communicating like others will diminish effects. Doing same old, our lead gen will wreck. So task two is try things, be creative and bold. We need to break some eggs to get our omelet sold. So clients click on our content, they fill in a form. We've got their details, but the lead's not yet warm. We don't just want form fills, we want conversation. Leading to client dialogue must be the aspiration. So the key to great lead gen is to know at the outset how we'll stimulate appointments, how client meetings we'll get. Because lead gen is always about how we attract new buyer discussions we can convert into impact. So rule three is clear. Don't even begin. Lead gen shouldn't start without a plan how to win. And here's the big thing that we sometimes forget, without which our income's always at threat. There's another marketing task if we want profit gains. Without it, our lead gen will all be in vain. And that's the simple fact that we must close the deal. The client's preference we must know how to seal. Because lead gen's for nothing if we can't make it turn into actual demand, actual revenue to earn. And for that, we need some additional skills, other marketing techniques that actually pay the bills. Our value propositions must be better than others. If our pricing sucks, then why did we bother? Lead gen is vital. Without it, we're stuffed. No lead gen, no pipeline. Our sales run out of puff. but it's just one part of the puzzle, just one thing to get right. There are more classic skills needed to win this fight. Lead gen is critical, but it's never all. So are products and positioning in our competitive brawl. If we want lasting success, generate leads and sales at ease, it needs modern digital skills, but also the four Ps. That's it. Thanks for listening. Good luck to you all as you attract new customers and them you enthrall. B2B might drop for effect.
That is the poet laureate of business marketing, Mr. Brian McCready. Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate.
Our third lead generation expert is the head of commercial marketing at Adobe, Vicky Shaler. Vicky, welcome to the podcast and over to you.
Thanks, Dave. Great to be here. I've been in B2B marketing for over 20 years. Currently at Adobe, have had various roles, mostly in tech and fintech. So my perspective comes from that angle. So I'm going to just talk about a few of the key lead generation elements that I see and that I think are just critical from my experience. So the four things that I'm going to talk about, the first one is about getting the right processes in place. The second one is the audience. Third is around getting the right systems. And fourth, around communication. So let me tackle those things one at a time. So getting the process in place. Now, this isn't always the deepest, most exciting part of lead generation, but actually it does make sure that you're doing the right thing at the right time to the right people in the right way, which is, after all, the fundamentals of marketing. So the process and the framework that I use covers the objectives, the audience, the big idea, content, channels, stakeholders, and finally reporting. Now, one of the reasons for starting with the objectives rather than the content or the channels is that it just makes sure you're doing the right thing and you're going to achieve the right thing at the end of your lead generation activity. So often I get questions or comments or requests, typically from a sales team, around, can we put on this event? It will be great for lead generation. Well, maybe it will, but what are you trying to do? Who are you trying to reach and what are you trying to reach them for? Are generally my first questions. So even before that, in a new environment, or if you're moving into a new environment, I think the first thing really to get agreed is the funnel and the prospect journey. So end to end, how does it work from getting a new name in right through to getting that deal signed? What are the steps? Where do the responsibilities lie? Do you need SLAs between different parties in that process? And what are you actually going to measure? So that's the first very critical piece. And the second piece, of advice really, is for a marketer not to stop at the lead generation piece. So if you and your marketing team are just generating leads, then all you're doing in some respects is keeping yourselves busy. The business cares about revenue. And if your funnel and your process follows that lead to signed revenue, then you'll see and understand the impact you're making on the business. And other people will see and understand the impact you're making on that business. And you'll also see what's not working, whether that's channels, different lead types, customer profiles. So don't stop at that, just that lead generation piece. So on the second part that I want to talk about around the audience, it's always so key, but also something that if you're racing into lead generation content and channels can actually be quite easy to forget. But who are you targeting? What do they care about? What are their top business challenges? And what does their current environment look like? So firstly, know them. Currently, I am marketing tech to marketers. That's a shortcut in knowing your audience. If you are your own audience, it does make it easier. On the flip side, it also makes it harder because I know exactly what marketers are like and how tricky we can all be. But if you are, you know, targeting IT, finance, procurement, these are kind of the other industries that I've worked in, it can be harder, but it's important to take that time to really understand who the audience are, where they are, and what they care about. Secondly, around the audience, I think being relevant is important, but it's not enough. I think marketers and lead generators have to make it urgent and make it impactful. So I know that from my own perspective, I have a lot of things that I need to do, and I've got even more things that I should do, but there's just not enough hours in the day to do 80% of them. So getting into really generating leads and getting into people's urgent pile, into their top three things, a list of things they have to do, takes not just relevance, but impact. So why should they make time for what you're asking? I'm yet to meet a business decision maker that's sitting there with their feet up on the desk, wondering what on earth they're going to do next. So making sure that not just you're considering the rational explanation. So yes, if someone reads this message, they would rationally understand that they have a need for what I'm trying to talk to them about, but elevating it up into that top three things that they really urgently have to do is critical. Some more tactical things. Don't forget the call to action. What do you want someone to think, feel, and do? And a bit of a spoiler alert, but unless you're in a very transactional business or a salesperson, the answer generally isn't buy something. The answer is to do something else. There's another step in the process. So if you can map out those steps and what you want them to do and how you want them to go on that journey, then you can move them along slowly. Repeat. I think sometimes we all are guilty of assuming that the person that we're talking to has read, watched, and digested our contently perfectly the first time. I don't do that. I don't know anyone else that does that. It'd be great if everyone did, but we don't, because we're busy people. So when it comes to content, using, reusing, and repurposing is so key to allow just that efficient use of content. It can be hard to create, so don't use it once and chuck it away. I actually also have a channel checklist with my team, because sometimes we just get reliant on one thing, or think of the top two channels that we use all the time, but there are lots of other things we can do at our disposal that actually, when we sit down and really plan it out, really mean that we are maximizing our content and our channels to the full effect. Third thing I want to talk about is getting the systems right. Who are your leads? Where are your leads? Which ones are you communicating with? What happens to them next? How do you find the really good ones? It's unlikely that there is one place or one system that you deal with as a marketer. Most of us have multiple systems, multiple techs. So having one central platform that integrates with everything else, that gives you that full picture of a prospect engagement, is really key, because then you can start getting more intelligent in lead generation and lead nurturing. So getting new names in, making sure they're qualified, looking out opportunities. What's the quality of the leads you're getting in? So this is kind of back to my point about don't just stop at generating the leads. Are they any good? Do they lead to the right activities and the right behavior? Do you prioritize your accounts? What's the alignment with your ideal customer? And when is it the right time to target someone with more lead generation messages or deeper lead generation messages further down the funnel? And the other piece around getting the right systems is thinking about what you need to monitor and measure. So if you're constantly monitoring and measuring engagement, lead generation, lead quality, then you can spot trends and either capitalize on positive trends or take action on when things are not going so well, so that it doesn't get to a deep drop before you realize that you need to do something. So getting the right systems right are key. And there is no one right answer. So we use Marketo. Other systems are, of course, available. It needs to be something that works for you, your business, your team, but you know, is easy to use, that lets you grow, lets you do all the things that you need to do. And then finally, my fourth one that I'm just going to mention is around communication. So marketing doesn't operate in a vacuum. I sometimes do think it would be easier if it did sometimes. You know, we all have those projects where you think if it was just me doing this, it'd be so much easier. But it doesn't. And that's why we love it, right? Think about who needs to know about your lead generation plans. Communicate, take time to share the plan. It's actually even better if you can include the stakeholders in creating that plan. It gives a much deeper sales and marketing alignment, and it tends to be sales teams, BDR teams, leadership teams, who are the ones that are going to ask the tricky questions, or who are the ones that are key to that, making that process and the tactical activities and the systems, making that all work. So in order for the lead generation that all of us marketers are doing at one end of the pipeline to lead to great revenue coming in at the other end of the pipeline, in my view, it's critical to get all of these things right: the process, the audience, the systems, and the communication.
Vicky Shaler, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Our fourth lead generation expert is the marketing director at Blick Rothenberg, Sarah Donnelly. Sarah, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Thanks, Dave. So Blick Rothenberg are a firm of accountants. We are well known for the work we do for entrepreneurial businesses, owner-managed businesses, and high net worth individuals. And it's great to be here today to talk about lead generation. I've been with the business about 18 months, and I'm really focused on what our marketing is doing and how our marketing is creating return on investment and value for the business. Historically, marketing activity has always really been split between brand and lead generation. And whilst there will always be a place for brand marketing, it's much less tangible than lead generation. And so therefore, lead generation has to be a primary focus for marketeers. B2C have tracked marketing activity against sales for years. B2B tended to steer away from it, particularly relationship-driven businesses like professional services, mainly because it's so hard to show how marketing directly impacted wins. It was easy for others, professionals, salespeople, to pick at marketing and to challenge if the win was truly from that marketing activity. And the reality is, whilst this hasn't totally changed, because relationships will always be about chemistry and about trust, none of us want to work with a company or an individual that we don't trust and we don't like. But marketing technology has now given us the ability to track and evidence where marketing activity has generated leads. This gives marketeers the ability to really demonstrate return on investment and highlight this to the business and show the business evidence how we're impacting growth and the bottom line. And that's really what my team have focused on when we're looking at lead generation. And, you know, some of the stakeholders can be quite skeptical. And that's why marketing tech has really given us a huge boost, because we do have those numbers. We do have those statistics now. And what that helps us to do is secure better support from the business, more budget for marketing, and the right level of resource to do the marketing to secure the leads. And it gives that exec team that justification for the overhead. More importantly, though, marketing teams can see how their work is directly impacting a business, and that gives a huge boost to the team. In terms of marketing in B2B, we've always faced the challenge of helping others to understand the work we do and the purpose. And leads are just really well understood by the business. They're well understood by stakeholders. It addresses a problem they have, which is their target. They've got a number, they've got a hit, and you're helping them do that. So they're a great way of building reputation and credibility in your business. At the same time, you've got to be really clear about how your business currently gets leads, and see if it's necessary for your marketing team to focus on lead gen and in what way. So an example is, if your business has historically been really, really good at winning leads through a telemarketing team, then is what you're going to do either going to add to their process or bring in leads in a different way, maybe for a different type of work, or is, you know, the telemarketing for new logos, and really what you're going to use is the lead gen to dig further and farm into your current clients. So it's thinking about the strategy is really, really important. It's not just something you do. The best way to generate leads, I would say, is content marketing. But the trick is finding the right point in that buyer journey and providing the right piece of content just at the right time that resonates with them when they're going to buy. By creating a value exchange, you're having a reason why you're getting in touch or why you're promoting something. And then they get something from that. So then they're more inclined to give you their details. They say, okay, yeah, you're going to give me something. It's a value exchange. I'm going to give you my details. I'm interested in what you have to say. Rich content draws people in and captures their interest with insights. But then it also talks to their issues and it helps solve a problem that they have. This highlights that as a brand, you care about what bothers them. You understand their world. You get it. And it shows them that you can give good advice or provide a product that's going to solve something for them. You're relevant and relatable, and that builds trust. And trust is key to winning business. Also, by doing this, you're shortening the sales cycle. The sales cycle can be quite long for some businesses. And if you can get through some of these upfront questions that the buyer has, you're going to help shorten the cost of sale and the sales cycle. But you can't just create content and leave it on a website in the same way as in the old days when you had everyone going into reception. There's no point of creating a lovely, beautiful, glossy document that sits in a reception stand. You've got to get it out there to the market. So it means you've got to choose the right channels, which are going to give you the maximum impact with your audience at the right time. And you've got to go where they are. You can't just make assumptions. You've got to find where they are. So if you're a business that's aiming at 18 to 22-year-olds, forget Facebook. They're not there. You're talking to a void. You've really got to think about your demographic. You've got to ensure that you always have really clear calls to action and have multiple calls to action. Get in touch, find out more. What more can we do to help you? So don't just use one type of asset, mix it up. People consume information in different ways, whether that's video or audio, an infographic, a written piece, and use a range of channels. Webinars have been really effective in lockdown, and podcasts. And, you know, it gives people that are going to join an opportunity to think about questions they want to ask. And they may well get in touch with those questions. That gives you another opportunity to have a conversation with them with that warm lead. Another way to create leads is through upselling to existing clients. So, for example, we've had some real success with this recently in Blit Rothenburg. Our US-UK private client team got an idea to reach out to their current clients and say, hey, listen, post-pandemic, your needs might have changed. How about we give you a 30-minute consultation to just check that we're on the right page with you? It worked really, really well when we coupled it with personalization of emails and email marketing and pushing people to the right part of the website and really focusing on what leads would look like, what the good leads would look like, and focusing in on those people. So we had a really strong target list. We had really good data, so the personalization worked. And people were interested. We've secured 40 meetings from that. However, we could have got more, but they're maxed out now. So we're gonna draw a line under it. Trends are coming and going all the time. What are the latest trends that we've seen in this space? Most trends are tech-based, I'll be honest. There's a lot of new marketing technology coming out and we're all seeing that. Stay on top of what changes, but make sure your stack reflects your business maturity. There's no point buying something that is going to be like a Formula One car when you need a bicycle. So just be really clear about what you're buying and why. We are trying to experiment with some new tools and platforms, but that's because we've got our foundations right. And you have to get your foundations right in the first instance. If you're going to have marketing automation, you need to make sure you get the right marketing automation and that it talks to your CRM. It's really important before you start experimenting with other things. And also bear in mind that experimentation's good, but it's a bit like fashion. You don't jump on every single fashion trend. Don't jump on every single shiny new thing. You need to make sure it's beneficial to your business, that it reflects your business maturity, the needs you have and the journey you're on. And you might choose to leave things aside for a year or so because you're not quite there yet. Other interesting things I've seen, a lot more nurture campaigns using AI, marketing automation based on decision trees, really taking buyers on a journey. Programs that are really focused on lead gen. A good example is a system called CogniClick. We've started working with CogniClick recently. The system is used to survey the market and generate content which will really encourage lead gen and selling. So what it does is it gives respondents a chance to give their details and in return get a personalized report that benchmarks them against their peers. They are being benchmarked against other respondents. And then following that, we can do a white paper out of it that can go to everyone, and then we can slice and dice that in different ways. So that's a really nice value exchange. They give us their details, we give them a benchmark report, and it encourages a really good conversation. Personalization, as I said before, we've used a bit. It's becoming increasingly popular on email and web pages to put exactly the right information in front of the target at the time that they want to hear it and where they are on their journey. And it gives sales and BD teams data that gives them much more impactful conversations on what the person is interested in. So again, you're shortening the sales process. There's things like Demandware out there that tracks IP addresses of companies and then can help with targeting companies. So whoever visits your website from that company, they get very tailored messages. We're not doing that yet, but it is an interesting development that we've seen in the market. Who does it well? It's sporadic in B2B. I think those who adopted a content-led marketing strategy are doing pretty well. Those that keep it simple, they know their business, they know their clients, they stay focused. They're the ones who are doing well. And companies, really, the ones that are going to succeed and will continue to succeed, that doesn't change. It's the ones who give their marketing professionals a seat at the top table to ensure they have a solid understanding of their business. And I'll come on in a bit to why that's important. I see some brands doing one element well. They might have really great content, but they're not placing it in the right places, or they're putting loads of messages out there, but they're not really saying anything. B2C do this really well. They've got so many more years experience in it. And I think B2B marketers should be looking at that and learning from it. What are consumer brands doing? But tailor it to your business. Because the reality is business buyers are now much more like individual consumers. They research before they buy. They go online and they look. And this is what people are starting to call the consumerization of enterprise marketing. In other words, they're checking you out before they buy. And that's really what it is. You know, they are going online and checking that you're the right sort of company, they're the right sort of person, that you've got the right values, showing that you've done this well for someone else. What feedback have others given you? You know, 10 years ago, you might not have thought that a Google review would really give you as much stress as it does to today's marketeers, but unfortunately, that's the case. And so you have to stay on top of that. I think the thing with that is that as a result, marketing needs to be much more connected to the rest of the business, and particularly sales and business development. You've got to work together to acquire, convert, and retain clients. You know, if you've done a market study and you've published a great report and your sales team don't know about it, what happens when they go in front of a potential client who has the report, who asks them about it? It's embarrassing for them. You need to know what they're talking to the world about, and they need to know what you're producing, and you have to do that together. In B2B, particularly in industries where your sales or BD person is a technical person or a professional, marketing has to work really hard, more than ever before, that they understand what content you're producing, how you're pushing it out to market, and how they should be following up leads. You need to help them understand that, but you need to do it in a way that says, this is what's in it for you. Because you've got to build a trust with them as much as they're building a trust with the clients in the market. I think that brings to the point that marketeers today have got to be more commercial than ever and understand the entire business they operate in. It's so important to be clear on how your spend and activity impacts the wider business, but also how they impact you. I had a conversation with our senior management team and asked them to just please stop saying, can you just do this? Because can you just in marketing can be a 4-day task, even though it looks like a simple thing. At the same time, we really have to understand what they're doing, because there's no point coming up with a great idea for a campaign on a really, really interesting topical issue if the work it's going to ring is the wrong sort of work for growth, or goes against what your brand stands for, or actually the business just doesn't have the capacity to deliver. That's not the right thing to be doing. So if you're going to generate leads, generate them for the right part of the business and the right type of work. Pitfalls to avoid when you're thinking about lead generation is really how you position it with your executive team. You need to ensure it's aligned to what your business wants to achieve. Comes back to my point about commercial acumen. You've got to have that wider commerciality. Make sure there's someone to follow up the leads. You can't just do this in isolation. If there's not the right person to follow up the leads and they are not equipped with the right information, you're going to do more damage to your brand than good. don't just assume every marketing activity has to be measured by leads. It doesn't. And make sure you make that clear to your stakeholders. Measure all the right things in all the right ways and help the business understand why there's a marketing mix, not just one thing. And when you do a campaign and you use a range of channels, be clear about where you're trying to get a brand profile and where you're trying to generate leads, and also how they interact with each other. So for example, we had an interesting piece recently where we did a social post based on some PR coverage that we got for one of our subject matter experts. It went really well. It was something people were really interested in. It generated a lot of interest. It was in the Times. People came to our website, they researched, and then they filled in a contact form and got in touch. We got leads from a PR activity. So it's also worth thinking about, you know, it was great profile. It put him in the right place in the market, but it generated leads too. These are both important things. The world keeps changing, so keep reviewing your strategy and looking at, you know, as you do different campaigns, you'll use different channels and different assets. Make sure you record your metrics and share them, report back to your business. If you do a campaign, do a closeout report. Explain what you wanted to achieve and what you did achieve. Have realistic and smart KPIs, you know, really think about what you want to measure. And to that point, you know, think about benchmarks. There's benchmarks in the industry, but what do you want to report the benchmark for? And I give you an example. In professional services, the average, the benchmark that's given, the average open rate of email marketing is 18%. So you can look and you can go, well, yeah, okay, we're all right. We're around 20, 22%. Actually, what we've found is our teams that have the best data and say the more interesting things have a 50, 60% open rate. So we've got to work with them to not measure against 18%. We want to keep them up at 50 to 60. So you've got to keep looking at where you use those benchmarks and why. And then thinking about content, and don't gate low value content. It's not a good move. Your prospect will feel cheated. They don't want to fill in a load of information to get something that's not valuable to them. At the same time, gate high value content or you're losing an opportunity to have a lead. If you're going to use tech, sense check that, you know, it's aligned to your brand. So if you pride yourself on being really personal and have a personal relationship with your clients, don't do loads of generic marketing. It won't feel authentic and the leads won't be there. Review your systems. And if you're going to buy a system, ask other people what they think, good and bad. And be really clear on what you want it to do and make sure the salesperson is really clear on what it can do. You will hear a lot of, yes, it can do that. But yes, it can do that when you buy another £500,000 worth of something is not really going to work for you. So you just need to make sure you challenge on that. Make sure your systems talk to each other to keep your data up to date. Be careful how personal you go. It's one thing knowing what a prospect's looking at and what they're interested in so you have a good conversation. But if your BD or salesperson goes in and says, you know, I saw at 9:02 last night, you have spent 5 minutes reading X on our site. That's just creepy. Don't do it. It's not good. Don't be too overfamiliar. Don't make assumptions. Don't over-communicate. And make sure your data's good, especially if you're going to do personalization. If I get an email that says, dear Sarah, great. If I get an email that says, dear Donnelly, I know their systems aren't great and it immediately puts me off. How to get started? I would say be really, really clear on your business strategy. What does your business want to do as a priority? Is it to achieve growth by X percent? Is it to attract new investors? Is it to pivot the business model? And then make sure your lead gen strategy aligns to that. Work with stakeholders to really understand their client base, segment your clients and prospects. Be clear on their personas, map the buyer journeys so you can understand where you can have the most impact. Get the right marketing automation for your business. Factor in whether your team need to be trained and make sure this happens before you go live with anything. They need to understand why you're doing this difference, why you're doing this lead generation. What does it mean to them in their job? What do they need to do? And what does it mean to their relationship with the business? Manage activity you want to measure and check that you can do that. And with the systems that you've got. Review what you currently do and do a stop, start, continue. That's always a good thing to do anyway. Choose the types of lead gen activity based around the people you want to engage with and get positioned with your stakeholders so they understand why you're doing this in a different way and what do marketing qualified leads mean to them? what's happened with that buyer, what point are they at, and then what do you need them to do? So at the end of the day, it's something that I always say, and I think I've probably said on this podcast before or somewhere else with the BMC, which is go back to basics. You know, keep remembering, what do you want to say? Who do you want to say it to? Why do they care? What do you want them to feel, understand, or do? And if you get these right, the leads will follow.
Given your point on personalization, I'm minded to say thank you, Donnelly. But no, thank you, Sarah Donnelly. It's brilliant to hear from you. Really grateful.
Thank you.
And that's it. That's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, to Simon Jones, to Brian McCready, to Vicky Scheel, and to Sarah Donnelly. And thanks to our technical team from Through the Eye of Scott Jackson, Andrew Gratian, Alex Horn, and Josh Bench. Most of all, though, thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk, and I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.